If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Let's BOGO. The Hoppin' Good Sale at Designer Shoe Warehouse is on. Buy any pair of shoes in-store or online. Get a second qualifying pair 50% off. Yep, must-have sandals, sneakers, and more from brands you love are buy one, get one 50% off at DSW. But only for a limited time, so hop to it. Fill your basket and score BOGO 50% off at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sexiest show in Houston right there, baby.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
You will not be diving into the head of former NFL quarterback. You'll be diving into the head of former high school defensive tackle state champion.
Is that my boy Ron?
You're damn right it is, Ron, the show Hughley. And Luke Morrow, he is in as Clint is out. Dirty's Daily is powered by Mo Karam Injury Lawyers. Hard as hell to say, easy to dial. 281-222-2222. One more time. 222-2222 is easier to say, but I wanted to say 7-2.
We keep it 100.
There it is. Shout out to Mo Karam Injury Lawyers as well. You can catch us on the Odyssey app as well. All right, the Astros, a little heads up. They got it going again. They could have really blown this game open. They did out at a run on a bases-loaded walk drawn by Brandon Rodgers. And Jake was up with the bases loaded, one out, and he hit into a double play. But they lead 4-0 against Seattle as Hunter Brown has given up no runs up to this point as they go to the third inning. Still a lot of game to go, but Hunter Brown seems to be in good shape. Hasn't had a lot of trouble, if any, in this game thus far. We will keep you updated on what's going on in this game as the Astros look to win and win this series, win back-to-back series, win this series over the Mariners. But I want to talk about one player for the Astros in particular, and he has also been involved in this. He has an RBI single in this game, and that is probably the most talked-about player over the last 2 months for the Astros, and that is Cam Smith. Cam Smith got him an RBI triple last night, got an RBI single today. But overall, coming into the game, Luke, he is his slash lines 143, 250, and 238 with one extra base hit. He was 3-for-21 coming into the game with 10 Ks and two walks. And Luke, you were one. I think maybe even at one point you were like, I think he needs to go down, and you have the weird thing of double A, not triple A, is where you wanted to send him. And I know at some point maybe it was up and down. I don't even want to get to the point of should he be up or should he be down. He's up, right? And that's fine. But how are you feeling about Cam Smith right now? When you're watching him, what are you seeing? Because I think a lot of people looked at it and said, hey, get him in the lineup. What he showed during spring training, that is a thing that could really change this lineup. How are you feeling? And you can answer this question as you listen as well. How are you feeling about what you're seeing from Cam Smith right now?
It's a little disappointing, but it probably should be expected. I mean, yep. I think we all got overwhelmed by what he was doing in spring training, but you and I talked about it at the time. It's so different from what would be expected at the big league level. It's like winning at Papa Shot and thinking you can walk on to the Houston Cougars. It's just two different type of games as a hitter and what you're dealing with. So this should be expected. I'm a little disappointed in the sense that I thought it'd be slightly better. I didn't think he'd be on the big league roster opening day and just from the jump be a 300 hitter and mash 35 homers, but I thought he would look a little more comfortable than he has to this point. Now, like, he got a big hit yesterday that drove in their only run in regulation and had a nice catch and so on and so forth, but I thought it'd be a little bit better. With that said, now you just have to ride it out, though. You can't send them down at this point.
Yeah, no, you've made the commitment.
Yeah, and you can't even. I don't even like this platoon. I think you get better by just getting the reps and getting the at bats.
Oh, you think they're sitting him too much?
Yeah, he should be out there. I mean, it's good, I guess, mentally. You get to take a day off and watch some film and relax and rest your mind, talk to the coaches. But, you know, I think reps are always the best thing. And so I'd want him in there every day and until he gets enough reps where you start to see some of that improvement and get better. I think he needs more at bats. So I'm a little surprised. Not really. I thought he'd be a little more comfortable, but this is kind of what we should have expected. Not a lot of experience at the professional level, jumping right in. You should know it'd be a slow start. Doesn't mean this is going to be his entire season, but you know, he's figuring this out in real time.
Yeah, he looks he looks overpowered, overmatched at times. To me, like, you know, as we said, man, what kind of, we know he's tearing up this pitching, but this isn't consistent major league pitching that has a developed game plan on how they want to get you out. So we knew there would be some struggles, but he does. He looks overmatched. And it's just one small thing that I see that has been noticeable even since spring training, and I don't know what that's about. At first, I thought it was like a really like oh man, that's that shows he's a mature hitter. But now I don't know about it. Outside of like yesterday, that triple he got down the third base line, everything is opposite field. Like and some of it I ain't gonna take from it. Some of it is maybe him going with the pitch and going oppo and doing that. But it happens so often, Luke, it feels like it's because he's late and he's unable to catch up and get around on pitches. That's the one thing is, even in spring training, we saw pick power, but we did see a lot of his balls just going opposite. And like today, even his RBI hit was a single going the other way. He was up yesterday. That's why that one yesterday, that was one of the first ones I've seen going down the line. He was up yesterday with the bases loaded early in that game, and he hit it oppo. Again, someone texting, come on, man, give the kid a chance. Good grief. No, I'm just asking you, what do you see? How do you feel about him? He was hitting 143 coming to the game, right? And just what you see is, yo, this is a guy that was talked about. The excitement level was really high. He's been dropped to the 9 spot today, and just what are you seeing from him? I wouldn't go disappointed because, you know, I'm not surprised that he didn't just, you know, come out the gates rolling. The only thing is it is weird to see that he doesn't get on top of balls and pull balls more. No. Like that it seems like everything goes the other way. That is just something to watch, right? That is just something to watch. That he doesn't seem to drive the ball. It's everything. Like, is he late or is he really trying to drive it that way?
Just to further prove your point, he's pulled only 9% of balls this year. So everything's going
that
the
kid
other way.
That big like that you would think hell yeah, people start playing his ass opposite field, like in any outfield.
They should. If they haven't already, and about 2/3 of his balls have been on the ground. So you'd like to see him get a little more elevated. That's the other thing, too, is as you still figure out big league pitching, I would like to, at this point, this is all to be expected, but I would like to see him get behind a few. Like when he does make contact, every once in a while, really drive a ball.
One, yeah.
Just because he has that raw power, and we just haven't seen that. He has one extra base hit, as we just said. A lot of stuff on the ground. Yeah, that's right. It was yesterday, that lone one. And even that wasn't hit all that hard, or like a typical off-the-wall extra base hit. A lot of it's the other way on the ground. If you're going to struggle early on, at least, you know, show some of that power potential where you're driving some balls to.
But again, as we said, there's no need to send him down. I'm with you. He'll play him more.
Yeah.
Get up here. You said he needs to get everyday starts. I think he's already missed four games that he hasn't started in. So play him. But this he was the most talked about guy coming out of spring training. I'm just curious where folks are. Someone says that he stands too far from the plate. If that, there may be something. Maybe that is a thing. Like and guys are pitching him away, and he goes, and maybe there's an adjustment to be made there where he gets more of the plate. I think he does feel like with his long arms, he can cover more of the plate. But yeah, I just, as you said, we saw Oppo power, center field power in spring training. I don't know that I've really seen a ball that I've ever felt like had a chance to get out. You know what I mean? Like that was driven, as you said there. So hopefully he continues. Hopefully, one, he continues to get starts every day out there in right field, and this thing starts to turn around. All right, the Masters, don't they start up tomorrow, right? Thursday, the Masters start up tomorrow. What's your excitement level? Scale of 1 to 10 right now. What's your excitement level of the Masters right now? Scottie Scheffler looking to win it again. Rory, who won a tournament not too long ago, first time in a while. What's your excitement level of Augusta this year?
I'll say it's the same as it has been for the last number of years, which isn't too high. I'm more of just the average golf fan, so like I'll tune in on the weekend.
Are you going to watch? You think you're watching Sunday?
If it's interesting enough, which it depends on the golfers. I'll check it out. But we were talking about this earlier where there's going to have to be a certain story to get me to the TV. We'll see if we get it. It has to be a handful of golfers or if it's really close. If it's like a, you know, one-stroke lead coming down the last couple of holes, I'll throw it on for that. But I'm a pretty average golf fan viewer. So for me, ever since Tiger's prime, all the Masters have been kind of the same where there has to be something specific to that Masters that's going on that weekend that will get me to tune in.
Yeah, I'm a Tiger. Someone texted in at a 10. You're probably, that was Tyler, I think.
I'm not at a 10, but I know Tyler. I'll be very involved.
Like you'll be watching it all. You'll be tomorrow. He'll be updating it.
I love Augusta.
Yeah. I'm with you. There has got to be something to get me to the table right now. Now, I won't just say I'm all Tiger. Like there are some people who are just Tiger golf fans and they only watch it. Like Phil has got me to there. That Phil has got me. That 1 year Bubba Watson won the Masters. Like I was in for that. Brooks has got me. There have been some moments that I have felt. I don't even know what the story is that gets me there. Like Scottie Scheffler dominating, I don't know that gets me to come to tune in Saturday or Sunday. I don't know. Rory, maybe if it was Scottie Scheffler and Rory coming down to the end and they were rolling. I don't know what golf story or what golf situation is going to be something that pulls me to be intrigued and interested. I know Scottie Scheffler is really, really good, and I love greatness.
I think a lot of people feel like you're laying out.
He doesn't drive me to.
He's not quite the excitement level old Eldrick and the fist pumping gave us.
Yeah.
But he is a great, great golfer.
Is Dustin Johnson, is he clean?
Oh, you never know.
Like that, Dustin used to be interested. I tell you what could get me. Rick.
Oh, yeah.
If Ricky Fowler and his bright ass colors, I don't know, I have a soft spot for Ricky.
Same.
And there is like Ricky is somebody who is known and is one of those guys that ain't never won a major. And that, like, if Ricky Fowler has a big moving day on Saturday and he is in contention on Sunday, I think Rick gets me there.
Oh, yeah.
I think I don't know if there's another story.
That'd turn me on.
I don't know if there's another. Ricky Fowler is maybe the only story that where I am locked in. Other than that, man, I don't know if the Masters is going to get me to the
And that would be a party. Good one. That storyline, I mean, like I said, I'm going to be plugged in. I love Augusta every year. I love the Masters. But if Ricky Fowler is in contention as we're heading into Sunday, I'm going to be very, very much glued to that television set.
Yeah, I'll be rooting. I will be rooting. I do, you know, back in the Tigers' heyday, I know you're not supposed to do this. I do things where I cheered and booed other players. I know you're not supposed to do that. I was in there yelling, miss it.
I miss like it. That out of you.
Miss it. Miss it. I would say it if I was there. But I'd be like, miss it. No, yeah. Yeah, Rick is the one. I think Rick is the one that gets me there. All right, last night. I think this JT Orr fella, honestly, he should be reprimanded, something. I'm not saying a man should be suspended or he should lose his job. But last night in the OKC Lakers game, in a tight game, the Lakers had just taken the lead in the fourth quarter on Luka's shot. And Luka was going back and forth with a fan. And Luka hit the shot, turned and sent some to the fan. Look like they're just going back and forth, just trash talk back and forth. And then next thing you know, I guess old JT Orr, the official, looked at it, heard it, and just believed that was meant for him. And bam, blew the whistle dead and teed up Luka. And it was his second tee, and then he got ejected from the game. Like, this is like, and by the way, my man is only, he has been a referee for 15 years in the NBA, and he has only refereed one playoff game.
Ha!
In 15 years. He also was a college referee, and he only refereed one NCAA tournament game.
Jeez.
How the hell, like, you got to get that right. Like, that, could you imagine a national TV game and a star of any kind gets thrown out because they had a back and forth with a fan? Like, and it wasn't like he was going into the stands back and forth. He was running back and just like, hey, knock that down. I could not believe it. Like, the Lakers were just incensed by what happened. It was the craziest thing in the world. And because they believe that JT Orr, the referee, and Luka, there's been like some history between the two of them. The, you know, the old Scott Foster. Who is it that Scott Foster hates? Is it Harden? Or is it Paul? Like, Scott Foster used to have.
I mean, Harden is a turd. It adds up.
Some issues with Rockets players. But I couldn't believe that. He got thrown out for having a back and forth with a fan. A fan. It's just, and then, obviously, the Lakers just collapsed after that. And the Thunder came. But that was someone texting, cry more, Ron. I'd cry. Like, come on, man. If Jalen Green got thrown out of the game because he was going back and forth with a fan, like that, yeah, I would expect for you to go off. That's different than, they didn't call that pass interference. That's different from ejecting a player from the game.
Yeah, so I got in the face, Craig.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I remember when I was playing basketball growing up, a coach called inbounds play, and the ref thought he was yelling at the ref, and they teed him up just for calling a play. These refs, you have to have a really thick skin as a referee. Luka wasn't even talking to him anyways, but even so, I mean, you can't throw... These are who the people are paying to come see. You can't throw Luka out for comments made towards a fan, or even, I would say, you know, you got to really say something special, even to a ref. You got to keep these guys in, especially these big games at the end of the year.
Yeah, I get it you say to the ref, but come on, man. Shoot, Reggie Miller went over and choked himself in the face of Spike Lee. Like, we got, that is wild. I bet he doesn't ref for a playoff game this year.
No, yeah.
And I wouldn't want him if that's your fuse.
His track record speaks for itself. Also, by the way, since you brought up the whole Spike Lee, I guess this is like a super fan that was involved with Luka.
Yeah, tattoo guy or whatever. And
I also hate that whole thing. I hate these people that almost think like they're a part of the team or as big as the team. They become part of the storyline. They're at all the games. They wear these silly outfits. Tired of it. Tired of these fans that think they're like the greatest fan of the entire fan base.
Yeah, we got there's a few of them here in Houston. A few of those. Who's our fan of the year? What's her name? the fan of the year. Debbie the Texan. Debbie the Texan.
Shout out Debbie the Texan.
Yeah, Debbie falls right into that category. But Debbie wouldn't do that. Debbie wouldn't force.
Hell no.
Luka. But hey, you can't tell that dude nothing. He affected the game.
Yeah?
He certainly affected the game.
He just wants some hookah and talk a little ish, like I said, man. It's all he wants in his life.
Coming up, we'll keep an update for you on the Astros, and this draft is coming up, and we got to get more conversations closer and closer as we get there. All of that as we continue right here live on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
I don't think that the Mariners can score five runs, which it'll take right now at this point to win it. But I think the Astros have had a chance to really blow this thing open and kind of put it away. And they have really squandered some opportunities. In the last two innings, they've had the bases loaded. Jake hit a double play to end one inning, and
I screwed it up.
That's all right. And then Jeremy Pena struck out with the bases loaded. As this is clearly the worst Luis Castillo. Obviously, we thought it would be. We thought that Miguel was better, but it is very clear Felipe is the worst of the Luis Castillos that the Mariners put in their rotation. So it is still 4-0, however, and Hunter Brown is rolling along. He's only at 56 pitches in the fourth inning, so he's in pretty good shape there to be able to roll this thing. All right, this is we talked about this a bit before, and I know, but it is really interesting. Coming up 4:40, our guy Brandon Scott joins us for Rockets Report. Coming up. Ain't Texas yet. I'm about to talk about the Texans. We've seen a lot of the draft, mock drafts, have the Texans taking tackles anywhere from Banks from Texas, Simmons from Ohio State, and now here recently Mel Kiper Jr. in his mock draft has Josh Connerly Jr. from Oregon being taken there. Starting to see that name in many other people's mocks more and more, the tackle. So clearly that's not just coming from nowhere. Like, some of these guys just do mocks, and then some of these guys do it because they're given guesses, but they have some good talking points with their guests. There is some info that they are getting. And I look at this, and Luke, if they draft a tackle, bring another tackle in the fold, like, that one would be really, really strange to me. Because to me, Luke, I believe the 25th pick, or if they move up or whatever, but the first round pick should be somebody, if they're not a definite day one starter, they are someone who is a major, major contributor right off the bat. Maybe Tank didn't start immediately, but he was a major contributor, and then he did. Like, that's where they should be, in my opinion, at the 25th pick. And if they bring in another tackle, man, I don't, you know, you already have, obviously, Titus Howard, who's the highest paid offensive lineman you have. You already have Cam Robinson, who you brought in, who's making $14 million. You have Blake Fisher, who you just drafted with a premium second round pick last year. You bring in Trent Brown. Like, you've got four tackles. This would be another added to the fold, which I would then say 4.5, because that probably is what Titus Howard is. This to me just is not something that I am in the backing of. That guy has to be somebody that is a contributor right off the bat. And maybe the tackle would, but then it would just question, well, why did you bring in Cam Robinson? Like, why would you, like, somebody is going to be on the bench that you're like, You pay $14 million for a swing tackle? You used a second-round pick when you just lost one with Diggs for a swing tackle? This has got to be somebody that's got to play. That's got to play immediately.
And I'm with you on that. I think strange is a good way to describe kind of the approach of stockpiling assets on the offensive line and how they've approached it this offseason. I think if they do draft a tackle at that position, I think it's more of an indictment on Blake Fisher than anyone else. And the idea might be he's one of your tackles. Titus is a guard, and Blake Fisher's on the bench, which would be a real, that'd be a give up on a guy so soon after taking him. But I'm always of the school of thought where I think you need to draft for need instead of best available. He might be the best available lineman at that spot when the Texans come up on the draft board. We'll see how the draft plays out. But to your point, yeah, I think the guard is the more pressing need. And I know the analogy people use is like, if you need bread and milk and you go to the store and you come back with a rake and a lawnmower because that was just such a great deal, we had to get it. It's like, yeah, well, it's not why you went to the store. You still don't have the food you need. So it's something similar here where you need a guard, but if you do draft a tackle because, like, well, he's such a talented player, he's available to us, it's great, but it's not really why you went to the store in the first place or fulfilling those needs that you have to be able to sustain yourself moving forward. So it would be a bit of an odd selection. Like I said, I think the offseason's been a little odd how they've poured so much into the tackle position and not as much into the interior positions of the offensive line. So I am team draft offensive guard, but if they do get a tackle, it's at least in that same ballpark of addressing the offensive line, which is a big need. It might be a move for down the road as well as just beyond this year. And like I said, also might be just the biggest indictment of maybe Blake Fisher. We know this guy's not the guy. We still need somebody else to fill that hole.
See, Luke, I'm just team draft a guy that's going to be able to really help you right away at 25. Now, the other places you can be build up, but for this team, and where they're going, it'd be a different thing if this is, hey, we won 9 games last year, or we won 7 games, and we're trying to continue to build this thing up. No. You've won the division. You've won a playoff game. You, as the words of the owner, we feel like we were right there coming out of the divisional game against the Chiefs. As the Texans in the text line rolls through, Texans don't have any more long-term tackles outside of Fisher. He's a work in progress. But again, you have done this to yourself, though. Right? Like, you have said, because it'd be one thing if they were like, all right, we need to find a long-term fix at tackle, and they didn't bring all of these dudes in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you did this to yourself. And I just don't think their roster is good enough to compete for where they're saying they want to compete. I don't think their roster is good enough to potentially draft somebody with their most premium pick that may not impact the field as much. I don't think that is the case. So I think you got to get somebody that is going to play immediately.
I think it almost raised more questions about the offseason, and it kind of goes back to, this is part of the reason why I would love to have
not offseason.
It's why I would love to have the draft before free agency, like every other professional sport except for the NFL. And so, like, last year, the Falcons signed Kirk Cousins because they needed a quarterback. They weren't sure what they were going to get in the draft. And then, oh, Michael Penix is available. Let's draft him. Now we don't need Kirk, but we already signed him. And I wonder if it's somewhat of a similar thought for the Texans where you had to get somebody there, but if things do break your way in the draft, now you get your starting tackle left or right for the foreseeable future. And the free agent signings can stick around, but, you know, like I said, Blake Fisher might go to the bench. And then, like I was saying, vice versa, if the draft was first, maybe you don't make those signings of a one-year contract to bring in Cam Robinson to fill a gap for a year when there isn't that long-term future for him and the Texans together beyond, you know, just this season.
All right, coming up, we are going to get Tyler's top five animated cartoon shows. That is coming. We have got to get that before we get out of here, because sneak peek, guys, Simpsons isn't on his top five, he said. So I cannot wait to hear that. We'll do that. Coming up, it is 4:40. It is Wednesday. It is Brandon Scott Rockets Report. And man, I know he's on fire. Playoffs. coming soon. The Rockets are the 2 seed. We'll get his thoughts on what's going on there. That's coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Ain't nobody in here acting.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order is backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Like no bitches.
We're talking hoops, H-Town. Our guy B. Scott has all the latest from the hardwood in Clutch City.
Ain't nobody in here acting like no bitches.
It's the Rockets Report.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Hey, Houston fans, I am so happy.
All right, it is 4:40. That means it is our Rockets Report with Brandon Scott. Quick update: Astros with another chance in that inning. Runners are first and second with Altuve and with Brandon Rogers. Altuve coming up, and they popped out. One flew out, one popped out. Still 4-0. Still chances. The last 3 innings, they've left eight on and not able to open up this lead. But they still lead 4-0. Like we said, Hunter Brown is rolling today.
Hey, thank God for the AL West, though. God bless the AL West.
I don't know, man.
At least they still have a chance.
Yeah, I get it. Look at the Angels and Rangers are trying to run away with this sucker.
I understand.
Obviously,
I
understand. They
want to. Telling me there's a chance.
You know, Tyler.
But one of those is the Angels still.
Tyler said he's just waiting. It's like Joey Bosa. Some point, Joey Bosa is going to get that lower leg injury at some point. Miss the year.
Death, taxes,
Trout,
and Mike Trout on a stretcher.
That's a damn shame, man. Your confidence and the
clockwork.
It has happened 3 years in a row on this show, and the excitement that you get in you get to announce it.
And you know what, you asshats out there that try to make me feel, I don't root this on. Cheer it on for Mike Trout.
I'm not saying
it's just guaranteed.
Yeah. I'm not saying I'm just saying you don't, maybe you don't hear your voice when you get to announce it.
I feel like a psychic. I don't know.
You seem to feel good.
He roots for a team that competes regularly against Mike Trout. Yeah, no, it's
hey, guess what, guys? You won't believe it. Mike Trout, broken hand again.
We're all floored. We're shocked.
All right, B. Scott. Last night, the Rockets didn't even have to play, and they clinched the 2 seed. Yep. And that is, I want to get into some things. But you have covered this team, and you have been through the hell. You have been through and been up at Toyota Center during all the rough years under Paul Silas Kidd. That's probably disrespectful. I should just call him by his name. But
shout out to Stephen Silas.
But rest in peace, Paul Silas Kidd. All the ups and downs, the bad teams, the missed playoffs. You've been through and watched all of it. And now they're the 2 seed. 52 wins with 3 to play. They can rest everybody the rest of the way. Just for you, over the years, your feel of how incredible this turnaround has been.
Yeah, no, I feel like everybody deserves a lot of credit from top to bottom, especially considering that they were at one point the laughing stock of the league. Like, they were the butt of all jokes for not just what the results were, but for how they were going about it. The return, the James Harden trade, there being sort of a lack of faith in Rafael Stone and how he got that job and his tie to the Fertitta family, and if he really was the guy to be the successor to Daryl Morey.
Yep.
And man, he's done a hell of a job. The picks, you know, for the most part have landed in some sort of way. Like Şengün ends up being kind of a steal, right? Like, that ends up being your best player. He was your second pick in the first round that year, you know, 4 years ago now. And then you just look on down the line, and it's been this constant development ever since you got Ime Udoka in the building last year, right?
That was the big piece.
Right? Yeah, I think there was a matter of getting somebody in here who could capture the attention of the young players, right? And I don't feel like they had that before. They finally did get that. Not only somebody that could capture their attention, but that could teach them some things and would hold them accountable when they didn't do those things. And we saw that plenty last year and this year when a guy's not playing well, he'll sit. And they all know this, but it doesn't matter who you are or what the pecking order is exactly. Jalen Green, whoever it is, you'll sit if you're not playing well. And that's kind of just been a lesson of the last couple of years. And now they've actually figured out how to play. Like, the big takeaway is the fact that they've actually figured out how to play. And it feels like that is like a recent development over the last couple of months or so, where it was, you know, they were really good for much of the year. They had the 2 seed earlier in the year.
Yeah.
But it still felt like they didn't know how to finish games. They didn't feel like a real winning team. Like, they knew how, like, they figured out how to play. And that's something that it feels like has happened over time. As Fred Van Vliet was out after he got back, Amen Thompson, Jalen Green, of course, Alperen Şengün, all of these guys are sort of developing into winning players, and we'll see how it plays out as the 2 seed in the playoff.
Speaking of the playoffs, we were talking about this earlier. I mean, what they've already accomplished and what you just laid out, where they came from, where they are now, has been so remarkable. So with that said, do you already view this season as a success, or is there still something you want to see in the playoffs to be able to finish off this great year for the Rockets?
Well, I do think you have to change expectations based off of what you see, based off of new information. Like, if we were going to go, Luke, based off of what I thought to start the season, mm-hmm. then absolutely it's a success. It was a success long ago.
Right.
Because my thought was, hey, you want to at least get in the play-in, but your goal should be higher than that. You should try to be a top 6 seed. Like, not a play-in team, but a playoff team mm-hmm. that doesn't have to play its way into the playoffs. You're already in there. So I thought, hey, a 6 seed, that would be really successful. They're the freaking 2 seed. So they have already surpassed that. But I think now, based off of what you've seen and based off of how they've developed, I think you can move the goalposts in a positive way and say, hey, you know what? As the 2 seed, you don't go into a playoff and say, hey, you know what? I'll be okay if the 2 seed lose in the first round, or I'll be okay if the 2 seed loses in the second round to the 3, you know, whatever it is. Like, no. At this point now, you expect the team to take advantage of the spot that they're in and to at the very least be competitive.
How big was, and Brandon Scott's with us, here as always, 4:40 on a Wednesday, doing a Rockets report. How big? We've talked about this. The Rockets going into the weekend were in their last 11 games were 2-9 against teams with winning record, and we talked about it. Like people were, there were just some people on the text line, some of our listeners who got sensitive to hearing that. We talked about it. This is what you got to do in the playoffs. How big was this weekend? Games against OKC, games against the Warriors, and what they did against the Warriors. And I think you can even throw in the Laker game as that rolls in, even though they lost that one, but the way that that was played. How big was that in your thought process of how you view this team heading into the playoffs?
Yeah, I think it's like, I don't think you can understate it. I mean, obviously, going up against the Thunder and the Warriors and the Lakers is a lot different than, you know, just the run-of-the-mill teams that they were going against. Now, I don't think that's as much a them issue as much as it is kind of how the schedule played out. Yeah. You kind of had to take advantage of the schedule, and I actually credit them for handling business the way that they did against those scrub teams, because you absolutely have to do that. But it was big, more so not just because of the teams, because of the timing of it all. And what I'm saying is, it's not like I hadn't seen them play well against good teams before. Like, you're talking about how it was as of late, and it was bad as of late. But early, they were playing really well against good teams. As of late, they were not. Okay, these are the good teams that you get at the end of the season when you need to be playing well, kind of the more critical part of the season. Are you playing well against them now? Forget as of late and forget earlier in the season. What about right now?
Yeah.
And I think the timing of it is the biggest part of it. The reason why I feel a lot more confident in what they can do in the playoffs.
With that said, outside of just winning and beating those teams, was there something in particular that you saw that stood out in those games that give you confidence that, that carries over with you to the playoffs?
I know I got it. I want to see if it's the same as mine.
Well, I mean, honestly, mine is just how they're able to like play in spite of a bad Jalen Green game or a bad Alperen Şengün game, and they figured out different ways to win, and that those guys are better down the stretch. Those are the things that, and I mentioned this earlier, they figured out ways to win and figured out how to win and be a winning team. I've talked about this almost every time I come on here. It's all going to rely on Jalen Green and Alperen Şengün being those guys down the stretch, and they absolutely have. So that would be the thing that stood out to me the most.
Yeah, for me, I think that was impressive. But for me, fellas, it was, all right, you're playing three really, really good and unique offenses, and you lay your hat on defense. And for me, defense is like you play good defense during the regular season, but in the playoffs, it's going to jump up. And I think those three games, those teams, maybe OKC, maybe they didn't have as much focus as normal, but I still think they were out playing. They played their guys. But the Lakers and the Warriors definitely were playing those games because they needed them. And to see the Rockets' defense in all three of those games control things and play to the level that they're going to have to play in the playoffs against those three teams. When you think about what Curry and the Warriors bring to the table, which is different than what Luka and LeBron and Reeves bring to the table, and what SGA and what they do with those bigs and OKC, and they held them all down. That to me was really, if you're talking about Luka and an individual, like an impressive part of that run, Them being able to play the level of defense against those offenses that they're going to need in the playoffs.
So I've always thought that the defense was real. Like, it was something that you could kind of just hang your hat on, that it would be there because they got so many guys, so many different guys that could defend.
I understand real, but I mean, three to Steph Curry.
No, I get you. But if I were to point to some individual things, it'd be a couple of things. First of all, so you've had some revelations here. The double big lineup with Alperen Şengün and Steven Adams. You've got something there. Like, you are able to play a little bit of a bully ball. Like, and it kind of sounds funny to say considering how the Rockets have been over the last few years. They have been anything but bully ball.
Yeah.
But now they got it. Now they got the personnel to do that. Also, Jabari Smith Jr. going to the bench. I know the focus on that was Amen Thompson and, hey, who goes to the bench when Jabari comes? But, you know, all of that, okay? But Jabari as a bench player specifically is kind of like a wild card because he works in any, he makes sense in any lineup that you can construct. He can be your stretch four. He can small be your five. Small your small five, and he can be he can play the wing in your double big lineup. So there's no lineup that you can construct where he doesn't make sense. And to his credit, he has taken that role in stride and has thrived in it. So I would say Jabari Smith as a bench player, and specifically the double big lineup, have been revelations for the Rockets over the last you know, 4 to 6 weeks or so.
All right, we just we got three more to wait, and they play the Clippers tonight. We'll see how many how they approach this game. We'll talk about that. Coming
oh,
up
this
at 5
this
o'clock.
Better be a Reed Shepard, Cam Whitmore, we'll Jeff see. Green, Jay you know, Sean Tate you know, type of game.
You know, Ime Udoka's a hard ass. We'll see. You know, no, but
stupid. Though.
But we'll see. We'll see how they approach this game. We'll look at the injury report. We'll have that come up 5 o'clock fire. But that's Brandon Scott. You can catch all his work sportsradio610.com. You can catch him every Tuesday in the 11 o'clock hour in the loop with us at 4:40 on Wednesdays. All right, 5 o'clock fire. Damn, 3 hours down, huh, Luke? 5 o'clock fire coming up. We will get you updated on the Astros as they're in the sixth inning, leading 4-0. We'll let you know how Hunter Brown's day is going and how that happened. The Rockets, we talked about them. How will they handle tonight's game now that they have wrapped up the two seed? All of that as we continue riding high and live on the drive.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.